South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello there. This is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation goes out from the Father heart of God to every single one of us, inviting us to be restored to His love, His care, His protection and blessing through the work of Jesus on the cross, and then to be filled with the life of His Spirit and empowered to be agents of His love and mercy to the world around us. In today's Great Invitation, we're going to look at the Feast of Hanukkah. The word Hanukkah is a Hebrew word meaning dedication. It really should be called the Festival of Dedication. The only scriptural reference to it is in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, where we read there that it was the Feast of Dedication. It was the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem, John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, leading on to John 10 and John 11. All of those events take place during the Feast of Dedication. It was the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. Yes, because Hanukkah occurs during the month of December. The Hebrew month that corresponds to our December is the month of Kislev, C-H-I-S-L-E-V, and Hanukkah is celebrated on the 25th day of that month. So sometimes it coincides exactly with our Western Christmas, and sometimes it's always very close to it. So it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews, the Jewish leaders, gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus said, "I told you, and you do not believe." So it was during the feast Jesus declared that he was the Messiah. So now we can commemorate the Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Hanukkah, as the date in which Jesus said he was the Messiah. So we could call it Messiah Day, or Christ Day, or Christmas Day. By amazing coincidence, even though our Christmas has a lot of pagan origins in it, by amazing quirk of God's providence, it occurs at the same time as Hanukkah. What do the Jewish people commemorate during the Feast of Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication? They commemorate an event that took place in about 167 or 169 BC, less than 200 years before the birth of Jesus. The Syrians had become part of the Greek culture at that time, after Alexander the Great brought the Greek culture and civilization to that part of the world, the northern Middle East, and also to Egypt. Both Egypt and Syria were dominated by Greek emperors or Greek generals. And the general in Syria, his name was Antiochus, he came into Jerusalem and saw that the Jewish people were not observing the Greek culture. They were holding on to their own Jewish ways, the ways given in the Bible, and they refused to blend in with the Greek culture. And so, to stamp out the Jewish culture and religion, Antiochus Epiphanes, this wicked man, went into the temple, desecrated the temple, and sacrificed a pig in the temple to defile the holy sacrifice of the temple. He made it impossible for Jewish people to keep their worship and to worship the God of their fathers. In other words, the culture of the time couldn't bear the presence of the worship of the one true God, and tried to stamp out the worship of the one true God, and insisted that the whole culture under their rule would submit to the paganism of the Gentile ways of the Greeks. During that time, priestly family in Israel, called the Maccabee family, they rose up and started a guerrilla tactic war against the Greeks, and in the course of a couple of years, they overthrew, even though they were just a tiny motley crew, they were able to overthrow the might of the Syrian Greek Empire. And then as soon as they got control of Jerusalem and of the Temple Mount area, they rededicated the temple, consecrated the temple, and the story goes they relit the menorah. So that is why the Feast of dedication, or the Feast of Hanukkah, is the feast that recalls the rededication of the temple and the relighting of the lamps of the menorah. And that's why it's a festival of light. Also, it's a festival of the light of the world. It was during the Feast of Hanukkah that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jewish people to this day, they celebrate the Feast of Hanukkah by lighting a menorah, lampstand, and for 8 days. But the important thing is they dedicated the temple, restored true worship, and the testimony of the atoning sacrifice. Today, the humanistic spirit of this world does not like the testimony of the atoning sacrifice. That right standing with God is through the blood of Jesus, and there is no other way. It's through the principle of atonement. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The temple sacrifices were an anticipation of God's making of a sacrifice of an innocent lamb to bear the sins of the world. What a joyful time it was in Israel when they restored the true worship of God by rededicating the temple. Now we have the permanent atonement of Yeshua, so we don't need to return to temple sacrifices, which were a temporary measure until the time of the permanent atonement of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So it's a festival of lights, a festival of rejoicing, and it's a festival of rededication. I think it would be a wonderful thing if in the church throughout the world we paid more attention to the feast of dedication. After all, it was the feast that Jesus himself celebrated at this time of the year. And we see from what we read in John's Gospel chapter 9, during the feast dedication or the feast of Hanukkah, Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem, rejoicing with the rest of the Jewish people. The struggle between the Jewish people and the prevailing secular or pagan culture of the Greeks and the prevailing culture around them till this day is a struggle that will last to the end of the age. Today, there is so much conflict and pressure in this nation and in every nation between the forces of secular atheism and the forces of those who want to worship the true God, the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, our Creator and our Redeemer, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who want to stamp that out from public life and even from private life. There are those who regard this as a backward way of living. But we know that we have the truth. And in each generation, the struggle against the forces of light and the forces of darkness goes with them. It's up to us to call our generation to the standards of the Bible, the standards of the true light, and the light of Jesus Christ, who lights up the world with his truth and with his message, atonement for sin, and the light of his life to live by his ways. This is the hope and the light of the world. The immoral ways of the world around us, the immoral ways of the Greeks in the days of the Maccabees, the Jewish people stood up against it and said, basically they were saying, standing on the words of Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Maccabees did not want the Jewish people to succumb to the paganism of the prevailing world order. And for us, we pray, we work, we share the gospel, that the people of our generation will not come to the pagan culture of the prevailing world order, but they will cleanse themselves through the atoning sacrifice, put their faith in the true God, worship him in spirit and truth, rejoice in all his goodness, and center their lives around his providences. That's the meaning of the Feast of Hanukkah, the feast that Jesus celebrated on the 25th day of Kislev, the feast during which he declared that he was the Messiah and was the Good Shepherd and is the light of the world. So celebrate Hanukkah by its true meaning, not only as the restoration of the Jewish people to their own worship, but also in reminding ourselves of this age-long struggle between the forces of secularism and paganism and the forces of the worship of the one true God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The feast is the feast of dedication. Our bodies, Paul writes, are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We can use this feast of dedication to dedicate the temple of the body of Christ and the temple of our individual bodies to the Lord and to his original purposes for us. Paul writes in Romans 12, 1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Pagan ways have come in to the body of Christ and into our own lives. The defilement of sin, and in our mind attitude and mindsets, so much of the ways of the world have permeated our thinking and the church. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we use this feast of dedication to say, Lord, I thank you for the atoning sacrifice and buying me back from the world to your plan and purposes. I dedicate my body to be an instrument of your love and your mercies, to walk by your ways. I can only do this if you fill the temple of my body with your own presence and with your own spirit. And I ask, Lord, that my mind will put on the mind of Christ, the mind of the Word of God, and I will walk in your ways and not in the ways of the Gentiles or the pagans. I dedicate myself for the purposes for which you have created and redeemed me. Then we put out of our lifestyles anything that's not compatible with the ways of Jesus. He's inviting us to rededicate ourselves and to be transformed by the way we think, to put away the thinking and the values of the secular world order, and to put on the mind of Christ, and to walk in the ways of his eternal word. Make this a festival of light. Let the lights go on in our temples, and let's dedicate ourselves not only to be saved and forgiven, but to live for God. This body belongs to the Lord. It's dedicated to his purpose. May the light and the love of God shine out through us. That's our response to the great invitation. This year, Hanukkah occurs between the 7th and the 15th of December. Why not make it a fun time with the family? Get a menorah, 7-branch lampstand, and light one candle each day and recall the events how the brave Maccabees restored the testimony of the atoning sacrifice and of the Word of God. And also read John's Gospel 9 and 10. Make it a fun time and make memories, remembering the goodness of our God and his faithfulness to his word. The Great Invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the donation of listeners like you. To contact us, go to our website, reconciliationoutreach.net, and click on the contact button there, or simply write to us, Paul and Nulo Higgins, P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida 34995. Here comes the
glory. Are you hungry for more of God's presence? Are you seeking a deeper life in God's Word and in worship? If you answered yes, join Pastors Robert and Athena Fisher at New Covenant North Deeper Gathering, December 9th, 5 p.m. at Palm Beach Gardens Marriott, 4000 RCA Boulevard. Visit our Facebook page at new.pm.north or call 561-501-3708. Encounter God in worship, prayer, and a life-giving word. See you there!
Perfect for business or pleasure, Pirates Cove Resort offers a peaceful getaway, giving you old Florida charm in a gorgeous contemporary setting. Elegant and comfortable, Pirates Cove Resort satisfies your yearning for a place away from demanding schedules. Family owned and operated, the staff of Pirates Cove Resort will joyfully provide for your needs while you relax and enjoy all of our amenities. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or on our website, Pirates Cove Resort.com.
Hi, this is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. After turning 66 back in the month of February, I reflected on my life, and here's a short summary. I never finished college, two failed marriages, broken relationships of people who cared about me. I quit numerous jobs. I was arrested 3 or 4 times for DWIs over the years, which I tried to hide from and hoped that they got lost in the system. I've seen a prison cell from the inside. I stopped AA after a year and went back to alcohol. Now, Jesus lived 33 years, and these are just some of his accomplishments, witnessed by many in his 3 years of ministry. Jesus heals a man born blind. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Jesus heals a lame man. John, chapter 5. Jesus brings Lazarus back to life from being dead for 4 days. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "And a great multitude followed him," Jesus, "because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased." In John, chapter 21, verse 25, it says, John tells us, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And as I reflected on my new life with Jesus, from 8 years ago, I realized that I had completed a pastor's certificate at Liberty University Online. I realized that I coach for a high school golf team. I realized that I'm a husband to my wife, and I share the good news of Jesus Christ in my new life. I realized that I have a relationship with my mother-in-law, who once told me that I was good for nothing. I have a stable life without any more drunken blackouts and no more jail cells. If you're in a struggling life, maybe financial, maybe addiction, maybe sexual, let Jesus set you free. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20-28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in verse 30, it says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is Keith Masters sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. to right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. We'll be right back.
I'm singing through the pain. My God, you have delivered me, and I know you will again. Why would I worry? What should I fear? I know you're for me, forever with me. Side.